Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. This long bank holiday weekend has been a special time of celebration and joy as we celebrated the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, an amazing feat of 70 years on the throne. But today we celebrate not just the Queen's Jubilee, but we also have reasons to celebrate as Christians, because today is Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came with power to rest upon the disciples. The day when the Holy Spirit came to live with anyone who believes in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, not just on that day thousands of years ago, but ever in time ever since. Which means that we too receive the precious gift of the Holy Spirit when we acknowledge that Jesus is God and follow him with our lives. Imagine what it would have been like being there in that room, seeing the flames of fire and hearing the rushing wind. Let us take a moment to imagine the experience of one of the disciples as they retell the story. And this is going to be a dramatic version of Acts chapter 2. Hi, you probably don't know me, as I'm not one of the main disciples, you know, one of the 12. But I followed Jesus for most of the time. I watched as he healed all kinds of diseases and injuries. I listened to him teach and speak such amazing words. I watched as he was crucified, put to death on that horrid cross. And I was shocked as he appeared again before us, alive, even though he was dead. And I saw him ascend again into heaven. And I was there, in that room, the upper room. We were all there, about 120 of us. We were there because Jesus told us to go there. After he rose from the dead, but before he ascended to heaven, Jesus gave us instructions to wait in Jerusalem for the gift we were going to receive. Of course, I had no idea what this gift was going to be. I had no clue of how amazing it was. I just knew that I had to listen to what Jesus said and follow his instructions. He has never led us wrong. So anyway, we were all together in that room. We'd been there for 10 days already. And if I'm honest, it was getting a little stuffy in there. Actually, it was pretty stifling and, well, smelly. We spent time praying, waiting, worshipping, waiting, eating together, waiting, praying, talking, praying, waiting, supporting each other, waiting, praying. We did a lot of waiting and a lot of praying. But on that 10th day, there was a sense of something happening. I could feel the hairs on the back of my neck suddenly stand up. And it felt like there was some kind of power in the room. No, not just some kind of power. He was there. The Holy Spirit. There was this noise of a mighty, violent wind. I instinctively ducked, trying to hold on to something, until I realised that although I could hear the noise of a violent wind, I couldn't feel it. It was howling in the room. Yet not even a gentle breeze could be felt. As I was really realizing this, I saw an amazing and honestly terrifying sight. These flames suddenly appeared out of nowhere, and I was so afraid. The flames separated and came to rest on each of us, and I thought for sure I was going to be burned to a crisp. But I wasn't. I just felt this wonderful sense of safety and warmth and protection, like a feeling of being welcomed home. It was amazing, this feeling of being so incredibly loved and accepted. I felt like I was being called to move, and I found myself moving with the whole crowd of us as we went outside onto the streets. The streets were packed, as was usual for the Festival of Weeks that was going on. It was hot, noisy, chaotic. Crowds of people were everywhere, enjoying the festival. As we emptied out onto the street, I felt my mouth open, and out of my mouth came words. Words I had never spoken before. Words I didn't even know. Certainly wasn't Greek or Aramaic. I don't know what language it was. The words just poured out, and even though I didn't know what I was saying. But slowly, people began to gather around me, and they clearly understood what I was saying. They looked on in amazement at me and seemed deeply touched by the words that were coming out of my mouth. I heard people in the crowd begin to ask each other, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language?" I felt amazed. All the people in the crowd could hear us speaking their own language. But there were so many different nationalities, so many different languages. How could they all hear us speaking their own language? Just from where I was standing, I could see people from Parthia, Media, Elam, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome. How could they all hear their own language? But then I heard some of them jeering at us, mocking us, saying they've had too much wine. I'll admit to feeling a sense of anger. How dare these people scoff at the work of God, at this amazing thing that has happened? Just as I was about to open my mouth to tell them what I thought, I saw Peter stand up to address the crowd. "These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. He explained to everyone that what was happening was prophesied by the prophet Joel, who told us that in the last days, God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I felt a tingle of excitement run up my spine as I realised that I was a part of history being made. This was a moment that would be remembered forever, and I was right in the middle of it. I thought Peter would wrap up his talk about Joel's prophecy and sit back down, but instead he carried on and spoke quite directly, almost harshly, to the crowd. He told them that God had sent Jesus with signs and miracles to prove what he said was true, yet they did not believe him. And so, following God's plan, Jesus allowed himself to be arrested and put to death by nailing him to a cross. But he didn't stay dead, because God raised him from the dead, because death could not hold him. Peter explained that we were all witnesses of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and I and the rest of the 120 all raised our voices in agreement, stating that we'd all seen Jesus alive again. Peter raised his hand to get us to be quiet again, and he continued to teach the crowds about who Jesus is and what he had done. He explained to them that Jesus is both Lord and Messiah. He also explained that what happened here was the work of God by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on us. People in the crowd looked stunned, and I could see a dawning realization on many of their faces as they realized that what we were saying was true. Someone in the crowd shouted out in a loud voice, "Brothers, what shall we do?" I froze, not knowing how to answer the question. But Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, responded with confidence. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and all who are far off. For all the Lord will call." What happened next can only be described as wonderful, beautiful chaos. The crowd turned almost as one to head to the nearest bit of water, demanding that we baptize them immediately. All of us disciples were suddenly called upon to baptize hundreds, thousands of people. I lost count of how many people I personally baptized, but from what I heard, about 3,000 people chose to be baptized that day. Even as I look back at that day now, I can still barely believe what happened. History was made that day. Mighty power was given to us all who believe in Jesus that day. And that power, that Holy Spirit, is still at work now. God has come to live with us. On that day, lives were transformed. I was there, and my life has changed forever because of that day. It's a powerful story of Pentecost, a time when the Holy Spirit came down with power. But the Holy Spirit is still with us. And so this is a truly a day to be filled with joy, a day to celebrate and praise God, because God himself lives not just with us, but in us. This is a cause for great celebration. How are we celebrating the presence of the Holy Spirit in us? How are we recognizing him in our lives? How are we allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us? The disciples' lives were changed forever because the Holy Spirit came to live in them. Are our lives changed forever because the Holy Spirit lives in us? Do you want the Holy Spirit to live in you and do amazing things in and through you? Take this moment to say yes to God and ask the Holy Spirit to come and live in you. Ask God to be with you, whether this is for the first time or you want a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. The people who heard the disciples speaking asked, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So let us turn to God, repent, and call upon the Holy Spirit to breathe into us new life. Let's pray. Lord, you call us to be your hands and your feet, your voices in this world. And so often we don't. We don't allow you to fill us up and send us out. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be open to you, that we would be wanting you to come and make your home in our hearts, in our lives. Breathe into us your Spirit, Lord. Breathe into us new life, new hope, new joy. Holy Spirit, come and sweep through us and bring us closer and closer to you. Amen.